Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 386. Any questions or feedback, please send to Rabbi Yismach at take10fortorah.org. Today is Monday morning, October 29th, 2018, 2 days after the terrible events in Pittsburgh. And I just wanted to share some thoughts, maybe a little bit of chizuk. I don't have any great wisdom, I apologize for that, any way to explain or to rationalize. But of course, the question always is, what do we do? What do we do and what do we do with it? And maybe how we can be mechazek ourselves, how we can strengthen ourselves. So I just want to share an idea from the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, of course, discusses the death of Sarah. And it's incredible, this power couple of Abraham and Sarah, v'hanefesh asher asu b'charon, the two of them make people. They are able to inspire people. They are of unity of purpose, unity of mission. It's pretty remarkable, especially because Abraham probably wasn't so easy to read a shidduch to. Of course, Abraham was the contrarian. Abraham was the maverick. And so who wants to date the maverick? But Sarah did. And in the loss of Sarah, it's obvious that he has a very difficult time. But when you read the psukim, Vayavo Avraham lispod l'sara v'livkosa, Avraham comes to be maspid for Sarah, to give a eulogy for Sarah v'livkosa, and to cry for her, we find a very interesting and strange phrase. And that phrase is, v'livkosa, the word for he was crying, has a little chaf, a very small chaf, a chaf zeira. And of course, everybody wonders, why is that little chaf small? There are a variety of interpretations that are given. The Baal HaTurim has a few very difficult words. He says, Lo bacha elamat. Lo bacha elamat. He only cried a little bit, which would be really hard to imagine, because how could you not cry a lot, right? This was his special person. This was his one. And this was Sarah. And so I wanted to suggest that maybe the idea is that we're reading the pasuk out of order. When it says Vatamas Sarah, Sarah died, and Vayava Avraham lispod l'Sarah v'livkosa, so if you read it, things aren't presented as they usually are. He comes to eulogize Sarah and to cry. Usually, the crying happens after the Vatamas Sarah, after the death. That's Gimel Yamim Labechi. We have this idea that immediately after the death, even before you're able to process, before you're able to accept consolation, there's crying and an overwhelming emotional reaction. And then you come to the funeral, and then you come to whatever it is that comes next in the stages of grief. But here, this small chaf appears in the word v'livkosa that follows all of these other events, after the death, after the hesped, and then and only then come the tears. And so I wanted to suggest that maybe the idea is that the tears over here are not the tears of grief, the immediate tears of grief. The tears over here are tears of what happens later, what happens over the course of time in the imagining the death, the loss of the person. As you go through the day-to-day, as you go through your life following the loss of somebody who is important to you, it doesn't have this gripping and overwhelming sense of grief, of Gimel Yamim Labechi, the first 3 days. It'll never emotionally feel as powerful as that first initial reaction, but there's a little crying here and there. When you miss something or you experience something without that person, there's a little tear there and a little tear here. That's what it means. Lo bacha ela ma'at. There's only a little bit of crying, but he specifically is referring to the time past, those experiences without Sarah day to day. So I see, obviously, the adaptation here is the crying that we have after a tragedy like this is a different type of crying. It's the reaction that the world is a little bit different. Nothing is quite the same, and we have a new normal. And the fact that all of us, I think collectively as the Jewish people, whoever or whatever type of Jew you are, sees that our enemies do not see the finer distinctions that we're always focused on. They don't see any of those differences. But we are now going to be living somewhat different lives, lives where we thought maybe we were secure and safe and had nothing to be concerned about. Lo bacha ela ma'at. From day to day, I believe we're going to be seeing these differences in how we live and how we react and how we comport ourselves, even in what used to be the safest place for a Jew to live. Now, the chizuk, hopefully the strengthening that we also see from the parasha, is the lives that they, Avraham and Sarah, themselves led. It says, of course, v'Avraham zakin baba yamim, v'Hashem berachas Avraham bakol. Avraham was well in years, and God blessed him with everything. What is this everything? So Rav Hirsch has a beautiful comment. He says, Avraham's happiness came to expression in that he was blessed bakol, in and with everything. A person may succeed in everything that he does. Everything that he owns may prosper, and yet he himself may remain unhappy amidst all this blessing. All his assets may grow and thrive, but in his heart there is no simcha, there is no joy. He does not grow or flourish spiritually. Avraham, however, did feel himself blessed and flourished through all his blessings. He didn't just have kol, he didn't just have everything, but he felt that he had kol. He felt that he was blessed through all that what he had. We're constantly, when we're young, waiting till the next milestone. We wait till we're bar mitzvah. We wait till we're married. We wait till we graduate school. We wait till we become partner. We wait till all of these events. And sometimes you get the feeling that people just aren't satisfied or aren't happy where they are. They're not experiencing or really appreciating the moment. They're not mindful of the stage in which they are right now, and perhaps a little bit unappreciative. I remember there was an article I read 10 years ago about Prince Charles. Prince Charles then, I guess, was 60. Now he's, I guess, 70. And so the idea that he was waiting as the heir apparent since 1952, for now 66 years, waiting to be king. And the article said, and I forget who wrote this, you could probably Google these words and find it, and yet the moment for which his whole life has been a preparation eludes him, right? The idea that he wanted and wants only to be king. Now, being prince, I can imagine, is so bad. But the author said, but maybe Charles doesn't see it this way. Maybe he understands something that we don't, that we all spend our lives waiting for one thing or another. Americans of Charles' age, with our carpe diem attitudes and our can-do optimism and razzle-dazzle impatience, have already throttled through initial careers and second and even third careers. At 60, we might finally find pause and ask ourselves, why have we been in such a rush? Aren't we reduced to waiting to retire and collect Social Security and face the inevitable end? That's the idea of V'Hashem Berachas Avraham Bakol, the idea that right now, with what I have, where I have it, I can appreciate it. And we say this all the time. We talk about in Modim, Nodu L'cho Nesapati L'secha, I thank you, God, and I relate your praise, Al Chayenu HaMesur Miyadecha, for the lives that you have put in our hands, V'Al Nishmoseinu HaBekudos Lach, and for the souls that you have deposited with us, V'Al Nisecha, and for the miracles, Shebechol Yom Imanu, which are with us every single day, and for your wonders and for your goodness, shebechol eis, that happens at every moment, erev v'voker v'tzahrayim, evening and morning, and in the afternoon. Now this is an incredible statement, miracles and goodness every single day. It's our challenge when we say these words in Modim, to try to find the miracles and the goodness in every day. Now, of course, it's very obvious to me and everybody else that there is a new normal. There is a lo bacha ela ma'at, the reaction that we have from what was, I think, as it was said by others, the worst anti-Semitic attack in all of American history. That's a very significant day and a very significant moment. And I think we'll be processing this for a while, and we'll be reacting to this in a small way with the chaf zeira over the course of time, a tear here and a tear there, in spite of the fact that, of course, right now we're still gripped by the overwhelming Gimel Yamim of Bechia. We are probably going to be processing this new normal for a very long time. But in the meantime, as we are thinking about the reaction to those events and how we are going to process those, we also have to remember all of what we have at the same time. And perhaps the way to find any sort of simcha in this very difficult moment is to think about Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, how much worse things could have been, perhaps, or how things can take a turn one way or the other in the future. We have to find those daily miracles, find those moments of excitement, make sure that we are not looking only towards the future, we are looking not just forward towards the next event, towards the next thing, but that we have the ability to see today for what it is, and to enjoy and to appreciate all of the gifts that we have that surround us all of the time. And hopefully with all of those things, we'll be able to find a little bit of strength and a little bit of forward movement, in spite of the fact that things seem so dark, things seem so difficult, and that a new normal, which is completely abnormal, reminds us that nothing is normal. Everything is a miracle, and everything has God's involvement, and hopefully we'll find strength in that, and hopefully all of God's involvement will be positive and beneficial for us in the future. Have a great day.